I'm Diane, an alcoholic.
Hey, Diane.
I would like to speak about position one, and that's our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. One of the things that I was taught early on by my sponsor was that once I get a home group, I need to take care of my home group. And that's, you know, there's that paragraph in the big book that says the elder statesmen and the people laying on the beach complaining about the state of affairs. And she goes, that's what they're talking about there, is that your home group, you need to protect it, because if you don't have a home group, you're floundering. And if you're floundering, then it doesn't become your primary purpose, and you don't, you know, you're not adhering to what we need to do in order to live a spiritual life. But what I love is that if I take care of you guys or take care of my group, then my personal recovery depends upon you guys. I can't do this alone. I've tried doing this alone. I tried doing this, you know, by just watching John when I was first married to him. But this is my favorite one. I love it. And I remind all my sponsees about it. And I think that's enough for me right now.
Okay. That's down. I'm Colin, alcoholic.
Hey, Colin.
Again. And grateful to be here. Yeah, you know, it's I thought that the steps were, and I still do, I think the steps are pretty darn important, and kind of in some reflection and what I've been thinking about, you know, is how, you know, the first time I went through the steps specifically, they gave me a lot of introspection into, you know, who I was, and a deeper look into me. But then, and there's some of it woven through the steps, I believe, but there's a lot of how to interact with the world kind of weaved throughout the traditions that I found. And a lot of it, yeah, it talks about the AA group. I have that back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the AA group and some of our, we'll say, rules. But really, you know, if I apply these traditions to me and how I'm interacting with the world, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I do. And, you know, one of the big ones, for me that I try to work on, and it's a hard one because, you know, I'm pretty flippin' arrogant, turns out, you know, is, you know, the 11 tradition. And, it's our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always, maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And yes, I'll be honest, I do not have the traditions memorized. And that's okay. I'm still a good person. But the I use the words attraction rather than promotion almost on a daily basis, and speaking to myself in the mirror, but also, you know, when I'm interacting with the world. And I've struggled with that, you know. And again, relating my personal experience to these traditions, that I want to take care of myself. I want to give back. And there's a lot of service work stuff kind of in the traditions too, you know, about giving back, about being a collective rather than just all about me. You know, the what's the cliche quote? You know, it's about the greater good as opposed to the power of the one. There, I don't know. I'm trying to think. And it's in a Star Trek movie too, and I was trying to quote it, but I lost. Spock said it. Okay.
Yes.
And he's pretty smart. So
yeah,
I try to listen to him. You know, but this whole thing is me being the man I want to be. Me being the man I want to be. Me being a responsible man. You know, and that's kind of, I know I'm jumping all over the board here, but, you know, going to Tradition 7, you know, about being fully self-supporting. And to me, that says responsibility, 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 you know, as opposed to, and so, you know, tying that in with attraction rather than promotion, like if I'm taking care of myself and I'm giving back and I'm being that cog in the wheel, as I heard at another meeting this morning, in AA, like I'm part of the greater good and I'm giving back and I'm taking care of myself. And so it's kind of like the balance therein. If that's making any sense, mm-hmm. But Yeah, and then when I'm in those spots, now I go back and forth. You know, like I said, I definitely can be good at promoting myself. But when I'm not doing that, and when I'm centered, and when I'm a cog in the wheel. Wow. That's a Star Wars theme song.
They heard you.
Star Wars, clearly. Yeah, that's...
Star Wars.
It's nice. Background music. Yeah, when I'm in that good spot and balanced and stuff, I attract things and relationships that I didn't know what was possible. And so I guess my point in all of this, where I'm going with this, is the steps are one thing, but that has led me to practicing these principles in all my affairs, and not just being about me. Being centered on being a cog in the wheel, being centered on giving back to be a part of something. And I think that of course, not being completely altruistic here, I get something back. I'm a part of something here. I belong. And I think that's different from, I know that's different from where I was, before, when I was drinking and I wasn't a part of anything, and I felt lost, and I didn't have responsibility at all. I didn't have personal responsibility. Clearly wasn't being the man I wanted to be. I definitely didn't want to stop drinking at that time.
Right.
But I was lost, and I didn't know it. And I think that the steps of then comboing with this traditions is a set of principles, has allowed me to be a part of the bigger good. And I love giving back. And sometimes I don't think I do. And then I get a call, and it happened the other night. I was at a movie, and I was questioning, what the f*** am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Am I chasing money? Am I chasing prestige? And I got a call from a guy that I had a part in helping, and he was calling for one purpose, to thank me for being involved with his recovery. And I'm not trying to sound arrogant and ego whatever by saying that. It gave me meaning, and it gave me that sense of a purpose, and the cog in the wheel stuff, and being a part of this. So I'm thinking about, and I feel like, there's the dance music, caffeine's going here, so I'm going to pass over here to Brendan.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
Grateful to be here. One of the things, I really didn't know what I was going to talk about, which tradition coming in. So last night, I was hanging out with some people after a meeting, and I didn't ask for advice, but sometimes we give advice, and I told them I was coming. Some people have been around for a while, that I was coming up to speak on traditions up here, and he's like, "Well, what traditions you're speaking on?" I'm like, "Well, I had some idea." He's like, "Well, you should speak on 1 and 12." He's like, unity and anonymity, one of the things I like to read when I do the traditions is the long form of it. I think it's kind of overlooked a lot of times. And one is, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a greater whole. And you really alluded to that earlier when you opened. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first. But the individual welfare follows closely afterwards. You guys really kind of both touched on that. And then 12th one is, and finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has a immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. This is the end to our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us. And one of the things, I think, some of the principles behind that 12th tradition is simply that, I don't take credit for you know, people's sobriety that maybe I might have helped them along the way. Maybe I sponsored them. Maybe I just talked to them. You know, because there's plenty of people that did that for me as well. But I don't need to take, you know, that, you know, that's Alcoholics Anonymous working in my life. That's not, you know, that's, you know, like Kenny alluded to, that's not like where I was geared to when I walked in these doors. It was given to me by Alcoholics Anonymous. These principles have been given to me. And the other thing I like to talk about also when I talk about traditions is that applying these to my own life, to my own family life. And I think a lot of times when I got to about, I think 11 or 12 years sober, my sobriety date's January 5th of 1996. And my my sponsor, when I was about 11 or 12 years sober, I was living down in Phoenix. I had my first 10 years of sobriety. We're in Detroit, Michigan, and moved out here with to Arizona, and had to kind of create that fellowship, that that network around me and stuff like that. And I had to raise my hand at meetings and let people know I was new to the area. That, you know, my sponsor back home suggests I go 30 meetings in 30 days and start looking for people that can help. And you know, one of the things, and that's like talks about genuine humility. It's like, you know, I even though I've been sober a couple of days, I was still new in the area. I still needed to plug in. And it's like a lot of times I don't let, you know, the guy with 20 or 30 years or the gal, you know, sometimes they need this Alcoholics Anonymous meeting just as much as the next person with the guy with 30 days or one day for that matter, you know. And, you know, I think that, though applying this to my own life, you know, I think that, you know, I have to have, a little bit of a, you know, this practice of a genuine humility it talks about in this long form. I have to, not get too, you know, filled up by all my achievements. And a lot of times, you kind of maybe alluded to it a little bit, but like, I'll look at these things like, you know, AA gives us back a lot when we get here, you know, and some of it just came. You know, like I was listening to AA talk all the way up here. This guy's passed on, but I remember hearing him back in like a long time ago with 1996 or so, and he had about 30 or 40 years at that time, but, he, you know, he talked about like, you know, having that genuine humility where you don't take credit for like, you know, all these gifts that God gives you in your life. You know, like, you know, I had a job, and then, you know, when I was 2 years sober, I lost a job. That was the first job I ever lost sober. Usually I quit jobs before I lose them and stuff like that. But when I walked into getting that other job, you know, the next job or whatnot, I had a little bit more humility about me. It's like, sometimes I got so caught up in, like, having a job and getting that pride from doing a good job that I forgot, you know, I lost a little humility there and how grateful I was to have a job, you know, and sometimes I get a little ahead of myself, you know, with, my thoughts will get ahead and I need to really rein back and look at, you know, I need to have some humility about myself and you know, and it says in that next sentence, this is the end. This to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us. You know, I don't need, you know, the blessings that AA gives me to spoil me. You know, I need to thank God every day for those blessings and know that it was, you know, God and Alcoholics Anonymous that gave me these things, you know, or gave me the opportunity to do these things. It's not, you know, and I talk about it a lot with a friend, one of my friends that he's becoming real successful in his career and he's like, you know, he's like, this is the most important time when I'm most successful and things are going right in my life that I need to be most cautious. That I need to be like most vigilant on my AA program and helping and have, and I think that's, he's talking about showing a little bit of humility in his life. He needs to still show up and show the people around him that helped him get to that point. You know, that I need you just as much as you need me, and we need each other. And that there's no, like, ego involved in that. He's like, you know, I need to be here, and sometimes when things are going good, man, I can forget to be here, you know. I can find good excuses to not be here, like, you know, I'm, traveling for work or something like that, and I'm traveling, I'm going out of town. Well, early sobriety, my sponsor, when I went out of town for the first time and I was all freaked out, I asked my sponsor what to do, and I was going to Las Vegas for work, and there's going to be a lot of drinking, and he's like, well, know where the meetings are, know the phone number to central office there. Actually, probably call ahead, maybe even set up something where somebody can pick you up from your hotel and take you to a meeting or something like that. And they're like, I'm like, they'll do that? He's like, oh yeah, they'll do that. He's like, so I did that. And before I knew it, I made a call and set something up, and the guy picked me up from my hotel, one of the nights, first nights I was there. And every time I had come back there twice a year, for like a week long, I contact this guy. I met a contact and I call him. And thank him for giving me to AA meetings that while I was there, and that was like important. Well, a lot of times I travel even more for work now, and I think that I need to set up meetings. I need to go to meetings just as much when I'm out of town, just as much as I'm in town. This disease doesn't stop just because I'm in a different city. So I think I need to be. Yeah, it talks in the last sentence, the last part of the last sentence. It says that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over all of us. I need to have that contemplation in the back of my head on a daily basis. That starts in the morning when I wake up and I ask God for help to keep me sober, and then it ends at the end of the day too. So, but it carries on throughout that day. And how I do that, practice that, is make a plan, make a plan to go to those meetings, make a plan to reach out to that alcoholic. I have a sponsee that I work with that is traveling a lot he's an electrician, he's a journeyman, and he's out of town for the last 3-4 months, but, it's my responsibility just as much as his to stay in touch with him, man, stay in touch with that alcoholic. He's in a kind of a remote area. And, so I think that, this is one of the 12th tradition, one of my favorites. Anonymity, I need to be known to all you guys. My name is Brendan. People in my home group know my first and last name and stuff like that. It's not like, but people can find me. They can look me up and they can find me. And, I think that, it's not, I don't, especially when someone's sick or something like that, it's not Jim with the who wears the hat, the Jim the hat or whatever. It's there, Terry. Well, yeah, the guy Terry the hat. It's not like that. It's I gotta know their first and last name. I gotta have their phone number. I need to know how to get in touch with them. I can't be anonymous. But I do respect my anonymity. You touched on an 11th tradition of. At the public level and whatnot, but I'm really I've been grateful for the Alcoholics Anonymous, the gifts it's given me, and I just want to remain ever, forever, in genuine humility if I can practice that principle, and then also be grateful for all the blessings, and thankful for me and that thankful contemplation throughout my day. So that's all I got. I'll stop. Thanks.
Thanks, Brendan.
So Brendan touched on humility. I always think that's like. I struggle with. I can show humility on the outside and make people think I have humility, but internally I lack humility. I'd like to hear from the others or Brandon as well on that kind of topic. How do you actually cultivate humility in your life?
Can I? Yeah. I want to address it first because one of my other favorite one is Tradition 6. And an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And Nina Smith was a sponsor of mine years ago, and she explained to me that this tradition can be applied to our own life, and which I didn't get until I really understood what the second part meant was, if I'm focused on so much about the money, the property, and the prestige, and not my God, my family, my recovery, I'm going to get screwed. And I'll tell you, after even 20 years of sobriety, I got the notion in my head that John had to buy me a big house. I'm pretty involved with AA. So I got him to buy me a house out on Williamson Valley. It's a beautiful house. Koi pond, little fall, you know, all this stuff. Beautifully landscaped, giant garage. We lasted 2 years there because I missed my little casita. I missed my little dirt plot and my, you know, I missed that, and I missed cooking for my friends in AA. I missed having meetings there. I missed that, and I realized this money, property, and prestige yet again kicked my ass. Mm. And yet again, I fell for it, thought I was doing God's work. God's giving me a present. I should be doing this. And realized that my serenity was just jacked, you know? And then we get back to the Alarkin house, and it's God's house. And we felt it. The first time we had another meeting there, it was like, this is God's house. That Williamson Valley house was not, it might have been God's house, but it wasn't my house. And this house, I knew was God's house, and our house, you know. And I can see, because I grew up poor. So having an extra $20 is like, we're going to spend it real quick because somebody's going to take it. That's my philosophy in my head. So that's why I'm so glad you brought that up, Tyler, because it's, that humility is hard for me. You know, and not only humility, but I want to keep everything right here. I don't want you to get it. You know, when they say you can't keep it unless you give it away, man, my first natural instinct is bullshit. Bullshit. Not getting it. I don't want to share it. And then, of course, when I do, my life is so much easier and happier. So, mm-hmm. Thank you. Not that I'm very humble yet either.
Colin Alcoholic.
Hey, Colin.
Huge concept for me. And I think I was trying to allude to some of that too before. It's been very difficult for me to get in. And usually what'll happen, there's this kind of rotational pattern that I get into with humility where I will reach out, I'll do service work, I will pray my ass off, and really ram the program really hard and through and be truly grateful, to God. But then it's short lived, you know, and going through this cycle over and over again. And, we can throw around the cliche stuff, you know, you hear at meetings and, you know, taking the wheel back and all that stuff. And, that's totally true. And it's more about complacency, which is attached to, you know, my ego. And then I get in all this, all that, the money, property, and prestige. And, I mean, to me, the word prestige really sums it up, you know, for me, because I want to be a fucking hero. I want to be a flipping hero. Yeah. And I want everyone to love me, and I want to be popular, and I want to be rich, and all that garbage. But you know what? When I've had that extra paycheck, I've had that paint side job, I've had the extra income, I mean, those are the most difficult periods in my life. Mm-hmm. And I have a new job right now, and it is right now a very difficult period. And I, you know, it's like, I don't, the humility that was seemingly attached to scrambling to change my tires around to get to a work function or something like that, or any function, you know, because I couldn't afford new tires. There was a level of putting me in my place that, if that's going to make any sense, not in a bad way, not in a shame way, okay, but like in a way that I was just a common folk. And I liked there was a gift and there has been a gift in living, we'll say paycheck to paycheck, you know. It's like it's being present right there all the time. And this is seemingly a kind of a sore spot. I know I'm going on and on. with me right now because I'm struggling with that. I'm in a situation right now where this, you know, this, I keep pointing to it like they can see it or something. But, you know, about what's my motive, you know, kind of like I shared about, you know, it's like I've got this opportunity to make more monies right now, and I am. And it's like, it's almost like I don't feel right chasing that, so to speak, or right doing that, you know, because I don't want to lose the humility, you know. So what's the balance? You know, rhetorical, I suppose, mm-hmm. but what's the balance on taking care of myself financially, building that future for family? And getting out of this. And I think, honestly, it's been, when I'm on the upside of that rotation I was talking about, the complacency stuff, it's keeping that contact going with God. And I have to take the action to do that, and reaching out and giving back and picking. And I love the speaker last night talking about picking up cigarette butts with all these years sober. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I like picking up cigarette. I haven't been smoking actual cigarettes, but, like I like making coffee or sweeping or something like that, you know, rather than I had a treasury position and I thought I was a big flipping deal. And I'd just rather pick up, you know, butts.
I know, we think it's a big deal when we get to be like chair.
Right. So that's where I'm at with humility.
Thanks, Colin.
Thanks. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Brendan.
Hey, Brendan.
And I was just thinking of another side of humility, too. Is there's a point in my sobriety between probably 1 and 8 years where I was very active in AA, and I had this, you know, a lot of pride because of the, and not a lot of humility, and because I was, you know, I was very active in service. I was an area PI chair back in the, you know, Michigan, the Area 33, and I was, you know, we got the bid for ICIPA. I was a chairperson of that bid, and we had been bidding for 17 years in a row and didn't get it. And I was like, I was finally chair and we got it. I'm like, and then I got, you know, slapped down real quickly. You know, I ran for chair for the conference and then didn't get that. I ran for co-chair, didn't get that. And I remember right after that is the first time I got involved in service. I stood for 31 positions, and I was new to the program. I didn't get any elected to any of them. They finally just made up a position, gave it to me, because I kept standing for it. And that will happen in AA, but that's true. Some true to give you some humility, I guess. But I guess practicing humility now too. You alluded to like. In your daily life, how do we apply this when things are going good? And it is having that balance. That's one of probably the biggest topics in later in my sobriety I've had with my sponsors is how to have that balance in my life. Like, you know, am I going to enough meetings? Am I working with enough people? Am I still staying true to the tenets of praying in the morning, praying at night, and doing some daily meditation, and am I doing all these things, reading some literature as well, like, and am I fitting all this stuff into the stream of life, or am I not? And then that's kind of, like, I can kind of go through that checklist, and if I'm not doing those kind of things, and I can start doing them, first of all, and then, again, because I can never, you know, I can stop doing things real quickly, but I can always pick them back right away. And one of the things is, I think that's kind of an act of humility is staying back to the principles that got me here. So, you know, remembering those principles. I had a period of time this summer where I had gone to my own home group, which was on Monday nights at the Big Book Step Study in Paradise Valley, and I hadn't gone to it in literally 8 weeks, and I missed 2 business meetings, of course, because it was 8 weeks, and I was out of town traveling for work, and you know, I called people and people knew where I was going and what I was doing, But they elected, you know, I was the grapevine rep at the beginning of this term, and they, since I missed two business meetings, they kicked me out of that position, gave it to somebody that, you know, was showing up. And I came back last week, to the first Monday night. I had been back in a while. And then found out who the new group of grapevine rep was. And it was a little hit to the ego, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I couldn't be here, and God had some other plans for me. Not that I was not hitting meetings or anything like that, I just couldn't make that meeting. So sometimes it just, and I didn't know that was the case beginning of the year, so sometimes life can change, throw some curves at us and change. You know, I had no idea that I was going to be traveling this summer that much. I thought I'd be going to my home group every Monday night. That's why I took the position, you know. But that we are allowed to, you know, to make changes and adapt changes quickly and stuff like that. But I do need to kind of remember to go through my balance checklist and my falling back on these same principles that I'm always that I've been taught when I came in here. Falling back on those and doing those on a regular basis, or I'm not. And if I'm not, I need to start picking up and doing those things again, because that'll give me the best balance in my life. You know, no matter if I've had the money, not had the money, had the girl, not had the girl, had the house, not had the house, lost the house, you know, and got the house back, you know. So all these kinds of things, page 31, you know, taking the trip, not taking the trip. I've done all those things and sobriety too. But the biggest thing that stuck with me is picking up those principles of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and these concepts as well. But practicing those principles in my life, you know. I remember hearing like the tradition talks where they break down, you know, the steps down to one word, and I've already even broken down to the 12 traditions, broken down to one word, and those principles, and holding those true to those principles in my recovery and throughout my life. So with that, I'll shut up. But it's hard. Humility is hard.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brian.
Yes.
Speaking of humility and anonymity, Brent, especially talking about the tradition 12, I was thinking when you were talking about that, there seems to be this theme I've heard people talking about, that the anonymity at the level of press radio films is kind of outdated and outmoded, and people, it would be better for recovery and AA for, say, prominent, popular people to be come forward and say that they are sober in AA, and it's a cool place to be or whatever, and that the principle of anonymity is kind of outmoded, and that it would help AA to show that, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of and lots of people belong to it. So what is you, any guys have any thoughts on the anonymity of people at the press review and films?
I have a thought. Attraction rather than promotion is where I'm at with that. I mean, and that's, you know, it talks about that. Yeah, you know, it's, in fact, like, in the treatment industry, you know, it's kind of a gray area on some of the stuff, because there is the era of advertising, you know, 12-step-based model. And yes, it doesn't say AA on a website connected to a treatment center, but frankly, that's what it says to me, you know. I know for me that anything that's been kind of like, hey, DARE, you know, drug abuse resistance education program, I got the shirt, whatever, I use more, okay. You know, like, and there was the brain on drugs and whatever, all the like campaigns, so to speak. My point is the marketing side of it, it pushes me away. It makes me feel like an adolescent or a child, you know, and I got a parent pushing, I'm bringing my personal stuff into it, and that's good, but, you know, pushing that stuff on me, you know, and I, the way I found this was through, you know, that concept of responsibility, through that concept of being attracted to it rather than promoted, when it was like, you know, hey buddy, here's your option, take it or leave it. you can go check this thing out, whatever, or either way, go F yourself, you're on your own, because you are an adult, you get to make your choices. And so, my point is that I had to find, you know, be on the street, and be sitting on the side of Scottsdale Road with rain, you know, with, for drama effect, you know, it was raining, and I was on my last cigarette butt that I found in an ashtray, and you know, had lost my vehicle, lost the bike that I had borrowed from a neighbor that actually got stolen, you know, and had to be attracted to doing this stuff. So yeah, and I think it's pretty clear in the traditions about the attraction rather than promotion, like I said, simply in the beginning. So
you know what bothers it, I can't say it bothers me. I'm concerned about things that we have here in Prescott, because there is so much recovery houses and all this stuff. But like Prescott on the Square, that makes me a little nervous. Because, not because they're having a function, but because they take the photo of the speaker and they identify them. And I've seen them addressed as in Alcoholics Anonymous. I feel safe, or I feel more comfortable when they just say is in recovery, then, because then I don't think it's a violation of the traditions. Obviously, we're much more aware of 12-step recovery places now than we were, say, when I first got sober here. You know, it wasn't Pia's, it was Duck House and Prescott House, and that was it. So I like that everybody's getting out there and letting people know that this even exists and that there's a place to get sober. But I get a little hinky dinky. You know, I've been asked to speak at Recovery on the Square, and I've told them I can't. I won't. No can do. But I'm more than happy to, you know, normies, if they come up and ask me and says, you know, do you know what AA is about? I say, hell yeah, I do. Oh, member of AA, you know. But that's not the level of press, radio,
right,
films.
Right.
So there's that balancing act, I think, that a lot of people get caught up in. And then, of course, you know, Robert Jr., you know, it's like, well, that's great that he's got 20 years of sobriety, and God bless him. But if somebody's saying, well, I'm going to go into AA because of Robert Jr., and then the next night is in the casino drinking, you know, it's kind of like, are you only doing it because he's in it, or are you doing it because you're going to die from this disease? You know, so I have, like, conflicting kind of feelings about all this stuff. I wanted to expose, but I also wanted to keep AA for people who are serious about recovery, not just go around and say, ooh, I want to be the end thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at every program now, everybody's got an alcoholic in some kind of show, or they have to go, you know, they have to go to a meeting, or, oh, I can't drink, you know, in the bar with you guys, or I'll have a nice tea. It's like, okay, now they're kind of glamorizing Alcoholics Anonymous instead of showing that I will die from this disease. I know I will die. My dad died. My brother died. There is death when alcohol. I can't do a relapse. I can't do any of that stuff. So that's how I feel.
As far as, you know, I even add on to that, you know, social media and the internet. I mean, that's something that's changed completely since I got sober. We didn't even have cell phones when I got sober. I mean, like, or at least we weren't carrying them around. They had them attached to, like, a bag in a car.
Exactly.
But you know, there's I see a lot more of that happening. Loose people are being, and more so that I recognize them more today than I did when I first got sober. Anonymity breaks and stuff like that, and at that level of press, radio, film, or internet, and or some kind of whatever media you want to use, but I've been just trying. I just practice it. You know, be careful on my, you know, I'm on social networks and stuff like that, but I don't share about my recovery, and I am in front of the camera sometimes for my job, and sometimes it's on national news or local news. It just depends. But I don't. I talk about what I'm, you know, my business, not the business of Alcoholics Anonymous, and not the, you know, business of, you know, sobriety or whatnot. But it does bother me though too to, you know, like see that stuff. And I've seen some celebrities in meetings and stuff like that, and I know. Actually, I have one celebrity that works closely with the company I work for, but he doesn't know that I'm in the program, and I know he's in the program, but he doesn't know that I am. I just haven't had it. The timing hasn't been right. You know, it's like sometimes the timing will make itself right. We'll see each other at a meeting or something like that. But just that, I'm not. Obviously, if he needed something, I would break my anonymity and have a meeting with him right there. But I think that and you too. Like if anybody asked me, I'm a coworker or anybody on the street, or anywhere, I'm willing to help another alcoholic or anybody that's suffering from this disease. But we put these people up on pedestals, and what was the one thing I used to hear early on in AA is we stand on clay pedestals, or we have clay feet, we have to be careful about, because I've seen guys with we were talking about last night 20, 30 years that pick up a drink, Fred's story in the Big Book, mm-hmm. It's like it was a sunny day, and pulled in and had thought whiskey and the milk would be all right or whatnot, and it's like those kind of things. I gotta be reminded of those things because but for the grace of God there will go I, and so that's why I need to respect this program and allow it to just work through it at attraction versus promotion, and it's kind of funny because I'm in the business of promotion, but I need to remember that what got me here was what I saw in other people and what I could relate to their heart, and they were completely different lives. The first guy I listened to, Joe, who told my story, and he was 36 and I was 22, and he was so much older, had a family, had all this stuff that I didn't have even yet. Right, he lost more stuff than I've ever had in my life up to that point, but I related to his feelings and his. And that's what I want to remember. It's like, it's not, it's not all the physical, difference. It's all of our similarities that keep us here. And what I relate to in his story was, more I connected to his heart was listening to his, his feelings, as an alcoholic and him getting sober. And I was attracted to the life he was leading, not the stuff he had in his life, Shit, he still got the same stuff in his life. He doesn't have any grandiose stuff, but I love what he has. He ended up being my first sponsor in Detroit, and I'm still attracted by what he has in his life and how he conducts his life with his family and his friends and stuff like that. And I'm attracted by that, not necessarily all the outside stuff. So. That's always a great topic, and I liked that whatever we had to share about that too as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody want to make up a question?
My family Mr. was kind of weird. We used to always have Chinese food before Christmas, Christmas Eve. I was wondering what tradition that related to.
It relates to the Hispanic one where we have to have menudo and, let's see, what else do we eat? Oh, yeah.
Tamales,
yeah. So, that's our tradition. In fact, that's what I told John the other night, too. I'll tell him about our tradition about making piñatas and... Yeah. What about you, Colin?
Well... I think there's bits and pieces of all of these traditions that can really be applied to that. I mean, I think it's about being self-supporting. So,
yeah,
you've got to take care of yourself with what works for you, what works for me.
That might be Chinese food.
Might be Chinese food. You know what I'm saying?
It fills your soul.
You done?
That's all I have on that. Yes.
I guess we can close.
Okay.